2 Timothy, chapter 2. This may be something that you don't want to hear, so let's get to it.
Well, why would you kill something that you don't want to hear?
Because if this doesn't put the fear of God into you, nothing will.
You've been doing it for years already.
Not like this. Verse 11, it is a faithful saying.
Wait, I'm there.
If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him.
What verse?
Chapter 2, verse 11.
When I left 2 weeks ago, we were on 10.
If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. We've studied through 12. And if you missed it, you have to go back and listen to the tapes because it's extremely important. And I'm not going to repeat it. But now in verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Believe not has nothing to do with the act of believing in him. It means if we are unfaithful in the message that we have heard. So if we are unfaithful, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He must always be true to his nature, his requirements, his character. Therefore, he cannot accept one who is unfaithful and still retain his integrity. Now this is as big as it gets. He cannot accept one who is unfaithful and still retain his character and integrity. Now, if this doesn't put the fear of God into you, nothing will. It's obvious. It would be, wouldn't need to say he can't deny himself. That's obvious. But in the context of what it's saying, he cannot accept one who is unfaithful and still retain his own integrity. Everybody understand that? This is why this high holy days are so incredibly important. Christ was born, and we celebrated his birth, or you did, I wasn't there, last night on Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. But you have to know that the Jewish New Year is also Judgment Day. He said, awake. Did you read that? Awake, awake, all who have fallen asleep in life. Stop chasing the vain shadows of your own imaginations. Now, for these days of awe, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's again a type of His waiting on you. So you have 10 days in this context, and if you don't believe it, if this is just a ceremonial thing you go through, then it means nothing. But these 10 days between now and Yom Kippur should be the time of intense repentance to a level deeper than you've ever dreamed of. Because if we are unfaithful, he cannot accept you. The sloppy agape theology has to end. The only way that it ends is by seeing the whole human race and all you've done in your mind and in your activity.
Do we deny ourselves?
Is chasing wind. I'm till you see the futility and emptiness. If you haven't seen that yet, you've got 10 days to see it. You abandon, utterly disown everything about you. That's what it means. Let's go to where are we? Where we're going to go? Matthew 7. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, does this seem impossible? Are the demands of the cross too great for you? It's as easy as falling off a log. There's nothing easier than this act of discipleship. The first predicate is everything else is crap. But if you still want to retain your own capacity to see yourself, to feel sorry for yourself, if you still want to see these little harebrained, ridiculous little ideas and hopes and dreams for you, then you haven't heard a word. And you have no fear of God. The day is at hand. The night is far spent. The marriage supper of the Lamb is approaching us. And I promise you, each and every one of you, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, you're either on your way to a wedding or a funeral. No, there are no in-betweens. There's nothing else going on. What, Gary?
I'm thinking about the if you believe not, the if I'm sure must be ice in view of the fact that you do not believe, because man can't believe good enough, far enough.
It just means you're unfaithful. Then you'd have to go into all kinds of jumping around through it. It means you're unfaithful to the mystery.
Yeah. So how do you think?
You die that he might live.
But he didn't deny himself.
He didn't deny himself?
Yeah. Isn't that what it says?
He cannot deny himself. He cannot be anything but true to his own nature. And his own nature was abject denial of himself after the flesh. Remember the two words for deny, apodiomai, apronomai. The one, well, we need to go back there. Let's go to first to Matthew 16.
Almost there,
too. It's because we were almost there in the first place, Ronnie.
Yeah, I was real close.
Matthew 16, verse
asked that question because when we were reading that, I got kind of confused. You know, if he cannot deny himself, then why do we have to deny ourselves?
Okay, verse 21, Matthew 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And Jesus had just said Peter's confession, right? I mean, Peter, he just said, Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to him, Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Upon this rock will I build my church. It wasn't the rock of Peter. It was the rock of the confession, Thou art the Christ. Now, Jesus started to begin to tell them, because he had to be known before he could tell them about his death. You understand? But in verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life under any guise shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now the word deny in verse 24 is aparneomai. And it means to utterly and completely disown yourself. Abandon. Take absolutely no thought of or about you or yours. You utterly disown you. Amen? It said the same thing in Mark 8:34. We don't have to go there. But now this one, back to 2 Timothy, this is a different word for deny. In verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 2, If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And this word, deny, is arneomai, A-R, not A-P. And what it means is that you've built a dam. Remember? You do not deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. That you give any importance whatsoever to any condition that you're in. So if we deny him, then he will deny us before the Father. And it's not a matter of, well, he's sitting there and saying, I deny so-and-so. It's that you're not even in the bank. You're not in the swimming pool. You're still on the shore. He can't deny you or accept you where you're not. So the only place that you are is on the mercy seat in him in you. So denial there, you can't. And the only way you've gotten to the mercy seat is to utterly disown yourself. Now, if you've got things to do that you got to do, you got sweet thoughts, you got plans, you got ambitions, you got goals, then go do them quickly. I'll lay hands on you to go do them. But don't sit here and hear these words and just ignore them. What?
I agree. these words, there's nothing to do. It's surrender, repent, yield. It's not like establish new behavior, change the way of your life, try harder.
No. You see that everything else is idiotic, empty, vain, fruitless. And then what happens? Then you finally wait on Him. Maybe you've never waited on Him before. You've waited because you had to for certain circumstances. But to wait on Him is the most intense spiritual, physical activity there is. You don't realize it's that intense, but to wait on Him is to create, you create the low pressure zone. And it's as though a hurricane forms around you, and you are in the eye of the hurricane, and you are at perfect peace, and everything around you is going to hell. That's what waiting on Him does. Now, if a body of people, that's how the world was turned upside down by a handful of disciples. Not because they went out and did stuff. It's because those 12 men emptied themselves. They created that low pressure zone. And it turned the world upside down.
Yeah, that surrounding force is your mind coming against this foolishness of waiting, trying to convince you it shouldn't be doing it. That's stupid.
No, that may be at the beginning, but the real surrounding force is you affect physicality.
By waiting,
by emptying. Waiting with the mind of a Gentile isn't waiting. We remember we had a few experiences with that. Well, how do you wait with the mind of Christ? The only way is that you've had the enough integrity to know that all of your self-efforts, all of the things you've tried to do, your whole life have been empty, vain, and futile. You have a choice then. Well, you can sit there and regret and say, oh, I wished I was something else. I wished I could do that. But then you have to find out, wait a minute, even if I did all that crap, I still would be in the same position.
See,
because?
That's what I...
I know what you do. That's where you can't get there from here, because you still keep thinking that if your situation was different, you could be somebody. That's not waiting.
No, but to the Gentile mind it is.
Well, I mean, but it's not meno.
It's not the right waiting.
It's not waiting at all.
Yeah, but that's what the Gentile thinks is spiritual. Is I'm going to wait now and get the best from God.
Well, here's what each of us had to do. No one of us has lived long enough to see that the futility of everything. Every one of us has done whatever we did, whatever God ordained for us in the bounds of our habitation that He established. And so by that knitting together, then we can learn and see and empathize from what somebody else did. And it's not a matter of wishing we were... If we couldn't do, that's why a body has to be 10 to 20 people. Otherwise, we'd have to live 1,000 years to come to the total end of ourselves. But what happens is, that's why we have to speak. We have to talk, because so that there is empathy between, so you can experience by empathy the thing that somebody else experienced by physicality. But if you sit in silence, you're robbing the body, therefore you're robbing God. You're not That's what the whole idea of the Seder groups are intended to be. But you think, well, now what I have to say isn't important. It's not your, if it's, you got to hear this. If it's on you, it's important.
So instead of just squashing it, let it out.
Be everything you are. Do you think that the kids that grew up here that have gone all over the place, do you think they're going to think, oh, I wished I would have been in blah, blah. Oh, I wished I could have gone there. They went there, and there was no there there. What's so funny about the kids that grew up here, it's like they know more about this than we do. Because it's to them, it's just is. This is what these days, this is why the set times of the Lord. That's what a feast means. It means the word feast in Hebrew is the set time. They're the anchors in time and space to cause His mystery to be revealed in you. So now we are at Judgment Day. That's what yesterday was. Now we have 10 days for repentance. Now we remember that there were the seven, the three of rebuke. Now then the seven of consolation. Now the three of repentance, or two of repentance. I mean, and they are read between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I got to add those to the feast memos, don't I? And then God still gives us more time after Yom Kippur. He gives us a few more days for total repentance until the Feast of Tabernacles, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then again we're reminded of it on the seventh day of the eighth day feast. We read and are apprehended by Ecclesiastes. And then, there's no choice. Once you're apprehended by that, there's only emptiness. And that's what these feast days are about. And so when you sit and muse about stuff, muse about the things of God. See, if I only had this, and if I could only do that, well, see yourself doing it. You know others here who have done whatever you think you want to do. They were just as miserable as you are, not having done it.
Really?
Oh, I want a really nice house out in Plano. And driving some kind of fancy car. And have a nice wife and nice kids. And what happened? Oh, I want to travel the world and see everything.
Yes.
I've been to so many countries of the world I forgot their names. It's just always the same.
I just want to go a few places.
You've already been. You've been more places lately than in the last few years than you ever have in your life.
But not really far away.
Ronnie, I'm going to come over there and slap the crap out of you in 1 second. You think it's going to be better somewhere else?
No, I just want to go there and visit.
Why? Go there and visit in your mind.
Be like a real tour person.
Oh, God. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He cannot accept anything but faith. Otherwise, he'd be unfaithful to himself. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody else have any response to any of this? Oh, no, let's invent purgatory.
Yeah, we've been pretty good now, so.
You are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayeth not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, your own mind, therefore you're not grieved. Walk in the light of the sparks, the ideas that you have kindled. And this shall you have of mine hand, saith the Lord. You shall lie down in sorrow. There's no in-between place. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Any thoughts, Mr. Bojo? Get mad at me for picking, for using you as an example?
I didn't know that you did.
Living in a house in Plano?
I thought you were talking about the parts.
Take it, big guy.